You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
August the 14th, 2020. Hear this, what I'm about to say could make some of you very, very angry. I am. I just found this, and I'm just absolutely fuming over it. Because of coronavirus, New York has declared we will not have the ceremony at Ground Zero, where family and other members read the names of the 9/11 victims. It would be too dangerous. And we're not even going to have the iconic Lower Manhattan 9/11 display that features twin beams of light to honor victims of the terrorist attacks. That will not shine this year in September because it takes so many folks to pull it off and the risks are just too great. Oh, you can protest, you can riot, you can march through the cities for whatever cause that they deem acceptable, but you cannot gather to mark 9/11 on that day at Ground Zero, nor will you see the twin beams of light at night, because it's just too risky. How risky was it for the city workers that were employed by the city and joined by the mayor, Bill de Blasio, to paint Black Lives Matter on the street in front of Donald Trump Towers, huh? Huh? You know what's going on here. I told you it'd make you angry. I hope it didn't ruin your day. Take solace in this. Would-be President Joe Biden, if he's not replaced by would-be President Harris before he gets a chance, he says now that every American should be wearing a mask. He wants to mandate every American wear a mask, and you should do so outside even for the next 3 months at a minimum. So shortly after the election, you can take them off. Again, I think we know what's going on here. Well, of course, yesterday, an historic agreement from the White House, trilateral talks between the U.S., Israel, and United Arab Emirates. President Trump stating it's a huge breakthrough. And Netanyahu of Israel said it's an historic movement and moment in a breakthrough for peace. A new era has opened in Israel's relations with the Arab world. And, of course, the mainstream media just ignored it because Trump's tied to it. Maybe they shouldn't have done that so quickly, because here comes Joe Biden a little bit later in the day saying, hey, I was there with Obama when we were laying the groundwork for that. So I'll bet it gets covered now as seen through the eyes of Joe Biden, because to the best of his memory, he helped lay the groundwork for it. And then he did say, I will, along with Harris, build on that deal when we're elected. There is response from Iran and Turkey. They're lashing out at the United Arab Emirates. They're very upset. Iran says, you just stuck a dagger unjustly in the backs of the Palestinian people and all Muslims. That's from Iran. Turkey says, we will never forget, never forgive this hypocritical behavior by the United Arab Emirates. Couple of seizures you should know about. The Justice Department announcing it seized millions of dollars worth of cryptocurrency. This something like $2 million plus was being used to finance activities of Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State. Another seizure, the Justice Department announcing the U.S. government's largest ever seizure of fuel shipments from Iran. They called a shipment of fuel bound for Venezuela. They're not supposed to be trading because of sanctions. President Trump would be traveling to New York today to visit his brother, Robert Trump, said to be very ill in the hospital, has apparently been ill for some time. And I would remind you, next week, Monday, the Democrat National Convention begins. That's right, next week, Monday. Should be no surprises unless, as I say, Harris shoves Biden off the stage, and they nominate would-be President Harris instead of Biden. Oh, take note of this. Tacoma, Washington, Dateline. A death in the police squad. This time it's a canine officer, 2-year-old German Shepherd, shot to death by a suspect they were chasing. The officer says, our canine officer sacrificed herself to save the life of her partner and her fellow officers. They're all special dogs in the canine units, and they are just like other officers in the view of those who work with them every day. So it's a loss for the Tacoma Police Department.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in, assess the situation at a very reasonable cost, and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality and lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
It was 1989, my thoughts were short, my hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
America is crying out for leadership. Yet we have a president who cares more about himself than the people who elected him. A president who is making every challenge we face even more difficult to solve.
Those are the words of would-be President Kamala Harris. We need leadership in this country. And she sees that she and Joe Biden, oh yeah, she's going to include Joe because he's at the top of the ticket so far, that we will be the new leaders that you need, not Trump. Trump's failed. And of course, they continue to bang on that drum. By the way, there's some breaking news I want to share with you. I saw it pop up and I didn't get a chance to take a closer look at it until now. A.G. Barr last night had indicated something was going to happen today regarding the investigation into the FBI and the others and what they were doing behind the scenes deep in the swamp to basically oust Trump from office. Well, it's just become apparent, one of the items. An FBI lawyer who worked on the surveillance warrant of former Trump foreign policy advisor Carter Page apparently is going to enter a guilty plea. He's going to admit that he made a false statement in an email as part of an investigation into the Russian investigation. Agent Clevin Kleinsmith plans to admit to one charge of altering email to another official in 2017 that said Page wasn't a previous government source when he had been one. You think it's just a mistake? Oh, no, no, no. Kleinsmith had also been critical of Trump when he worked for the FBI. So this work represents maybe one of the first public production from the highly anticipated Durham investigation. And look, obviously, for Trump and others to say this is good material for us and proving that there was collusion activities to overthrow the will of the people by getting Trump out of office. Klein Smith's lawyer says Kevin deeply regrets having altered the email. You know why? Because he got caught. He got caught. Otherwise, hell no, I don't care. I don't like Trump. I'll do whatever I can to destroy him. That Durham investigation, if all of that stuff is opened up before November, that will wipe the Democrats off the face of the map as far as the election coming up, for whatever chance they think they might have. But it's not clear if that's going to happen before then. So in the meantime, you've got would-be President Harris and her running mate. Oh, that's Joe Biden, by the way. I forgot. Say, we will be the new leaders. I want to point out something to you. I mentioned this the other day and didn't have time to get into great detail. You know how many times she criticized Joe during the Democrat primary? Now, I said the other day, I used the words, according to one listener who wrote in to my Facebook page, I said that Harris called Joe Biden a racist. The listener says I used those exact words and statement, and he sent me material to show that she never said such thing, not in those words. Now, in the last hour, I did apologize. I'll do it again. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I don't know if I did say it in those exact words or not. If I did, I was wrong. But there's no doubt that she was implying, along with Senator Booker, that Biden was a racist because he closely associated with the senators in the Senate at that time, like Byrd, who were devout segregationists. And he fought against busing for integration. And that was part of the issue in the battle between Harris and Biden. In fact, she challenged his stance on busing at the first Democrat primary debate. She challenged his opposition to the federally mandated busing when he was in the Senate. And she said, look, there was a little girl on one of those buses. That was me. Well, that got her a lot of attention right away, by the way. She looked poised, firm, and I thought that really could be a good star for the Democrats the way she's doing it. And then she later blasted Biden for flip-flopping on the Hyde Amendment. The Hyde Amendment, of course, states that you cannot use federal dollars to subsidize abortions, except for cases of rape, incest, or when a woman's life is endangered. Biden, a devout Catholic, had always been against abortion, so he was with the Hyde Amendment. No federal dollars. But if you're going to run on the big ticket, you got to step to the other side. You got to change your feelings, your attitude. But even though he did flip-flop, here comes Harris to accuse him of flip-flopping. She's got her own flip-flop issues we'll get to in a moment. And then they had a debate over health care plans on the stage. She was originally pushing Medicare for all. Then she finally kind of backed off of that a little bit. And Biden had always said that single-payer health care would cost too much, so they were debating over that. And then also remember the women coming forward accusing Biden of at least invading their space, if not inappropriate touching and kissing. And Harris said, I believe them. I believe them. you had at one point, Biden had used the term lynching. And it was referenced to Bill Clinton's impeachment or something of that nature. And Harris said that was not right that he used the term lynching, partly because Trump had also used it. And then later Biden apologized. So, I mean, there had not been any lost blood between the two of them at this point. But she's got her own list of flip-flops. I don't even have time to get into all of it right now. But I do want to share this with you. Let me give you some background here. The Catholic Association has made it clear, and they're spreading the word, that Kamala Harris, quote, has come to be the ringleader of the anti-Catholic bullying that increasingly defines the Democrat Party. It goes back to the time of a U.S. District Court nominee, Brian Boucher, who is being challenged by Harris in the Senate, and fellow Democrat Senator Hirano of Hawaii. They both suggested he should be disqualified because he's a member of the Knights of Columbus. That's a Catholic charitable organization. That was in December 2018. Both of them, Harris and Hirono, on the Senate Judiciary Committee. And they were asking whether a member of the Knights of Columbus would be able to decide cases involving abortion and same-sex marriage fairly and impartially. And Harris asked Boucher, do you know the Knights of Columbus, quote, oppose a woman's right to choose and against marriage equality when you join the Knights of Columbus? Well, the response from the Knights of Columbus was an open letter to Harris and Hirono saying, look, you're saying we hold many extreme beliefs. That's not grounded in any truth. And they pointed out their charitable work they do, including organizing donations of winter coats for children, providing diapers, other newborn supplies to low-income new mothers. And, of course, Harris and Hirono just scoffed at that. But you're really racist. You're really against abortion. So you're doing a little donations of winter coats for children. So see, but that's the same game plan Planned Parenthood has been using. You know, when they're accused of everything all the time and they keep saying, we are vital to the health care of women. And they talk about all the things they do with we give out information on contraceptives and contraceptive care and postnatal care and prenatal care and mammograms. Well, so do many other health clinics throughout the nation. They do exactly the same thing. The difference between them and Planned Parenthood and its group is they don't do abortions. So Planned Parenthood tries to say, well, we do good things. We do all of this. Okay. Knights of Columbus are using that same argument. But, of course, the left does not want to hear someone throw that kind of stuff back at them. I want to share a piece I've got here in front of me. This is from Jack Schaefer, Politico's senior media writer. And this is very interesting. It's titled in his opinion piece for Politico. And again, he's a senior media writer for Politico. The title is The Media's Sudden Crush on Kamala Harris. Listen to how this begins. As the lights at the Kamala Harris presidential campaign flickered and powered down last December, weeks before the voting started, the press corps delighted in cataloging her deficiencies as a candidate and a campaigner. And, of course, that was coming from the mainstream media. He goes on to say, although she started in the top tier of candidates and, in theory, could have galvanized votes from an unprecedented range of different voter bases, women, Californians, black voters, Asian Americans, all at once, the press recorded her failure to enthuse any of those power bases. She had languished in the national polls, scoring only in the single digits on her home court, California. CNN even stated, I'm sorry, CNN had pointed that out, that she only got single digits on her home court in California. The Washington Post reported, Biden has attracted more support than Harris from black voters, which raises the question everybody's been asking anyway. Why Harris? Biden's going to carry California. That's a Democrat state. Biden already has black support anyway, but he was also told by many black leaders in an open letter signed by 100 of them, if you don't nominate a woman as your VP, and in particular a woman of color, read between the lines, a black woman, you're not going to get any votes from us. We'll walk away. So she was put on to what? Just shore up what he already had and at least to bow down to those who demanded such? Let me go back to the article again, but a column, I should say, an opinion piece by Jack Schaefer in Politico. I told you about all this swapping that she was doing and changing gears as she accused Biden of doing. Here's what he writes. During the campaign, you're going to love this. It's good writing. During the campaign, Harris waffled so hard on health care, it's a wonder she wasn't added to the IHOP menu. That's a good line. And he writes, first she adopted Medicare for all and to eliminate private medical insurance. Then she backpedaled. As the LA Times wrote, leaving many voters unclear on where she stood, you think? And then he adds, and when she uncorked her complete health care agenda, she failed to explain it coherently. That also appearing in the LA Times. And then it went on to say in this column, her misfiring campaign organization drew poor notices from every press hand and from former allies. One of her former aides, Gil Durham, quoted the New York Times, You can't run the country if you can't run your campaign. Huh. Wall Street Journal stated Harris, quote, wrestled with how to sell her background as a former prosecutor. And see, here's the problem with that. She wants to be a hard-line prosecutor, law and order. That's not what the Dems are standing for now. They are for defunding police, reducing police, gutting police, abolishing police, ICE and every federal immigration law officer we have, and rioting in the streets and let it happen because it's the will of the people just to be heard. So that's a tightrope, and there's no net to catch her if she falls. So she's been trying to decide how to do that. Is she a criminal justice reformer or a law and order cop? She is very much like I refer to sometimes, your blinker on your car. It's on, it's off. It's on, it's off. It's on. That's exactly where she is. By the way, the New York Times reported about her inability to connect with black voters, said that she could reinforce Biden's appeal to black voters and women without stirring particularly vehement opposition on the right or left. In other words, she kind of lukewarm. But would-be President Kamala Harris is there because she didn't sign on to be the VP. I'll stress it again. She signed on to push Joe out of the way. When we return from the commercial break, the first voice you will hear will be Ronald Reagan from 1964. I'm correct. It's not in that segment. Next segment.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
By the way, during the program, I sit in one studio, and on the other side of the glass at the control board is my director, Quentin Cornegay, watching over things for me. And we often have to communicate via sign signals, thumbs up, thumbs down. Or I get something like I did just then when I said in this segment, the first voice you will hear will be Ronald Reagan. And I got this horrified look and a violent shake of the head, which I read as, Larry, you're an idiot. That's not in this next segment. Yeah, he's right. It's not. It's coming up. It's coming up. Hang by. Yeah, it's me. I just got ahead of myself trying to rush out of here. Not really. I love being here. Seriously. I'm an idiot. That's what it comes down to. Let me take just a moment to remind you again, with Israel and the United Arab Emirates, along with the White House administration, and probably Kushner had a great deal to do with it, getting an agreement and a breakthrough, a peace agreement between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. But MSNBC and CNN mostly ignoring it, just absolutely ignored it. All In with Chris Hayes, he's been guest hosting this week. No. Rachel Maddow Show, no. Last Word, Lawrence O'Donnell, no. Anderson Cooper filling in for Chris Cuomo, no. Didn't mention anything. CNN Tonight anchor Don Lemon, nope. Didn't do it. Although he did add a little, he did add a line. He said, talk about, yeah, let's talk about it because he said, you know, Trump might want to get a Pulitzer Prize out of it. And Lemon joking, Don Lemon fruitcake saying, oh my gosh, you can't write this stuff. That's what the president wants. He really wants a Nobel Peace Prize. Oh, you know who has the one, he says? President Barack Obama, Lemon fruitcake boast. And of course, can anyone name what Obama did to get it other than being elected president? He was barely in office when it was given to him. But hold everything, mainstream media. Joe Biden now stepping forward and saying, wait a minute, that deal that they brokered, I was with Obama and we laid the groundwork. We did it. So now it has new interest, at least in the mind of Biden. We'll see if the networks join him on that. But wait a minute, Joe. You got Congresswoman Tlaib. She's not celebrating this. She's not in favor of it. And you need her support. You need her support in her state when you go to be elected. Which side are you on now, Joe? And, of course, let's go back to what would-be President Harris had to say the other day when she was announced as supposedly Biden's running mate. Here we go.
This is a moment of real consequence for America. Everything we care about, our economy, our health, our children, the kind of country we live in, it's all on the line.
It is. It is a vital election. And you want a re-enhancement, a re-emphasizing, I should say, as to why and the things that they are pushing and why it's on the line? Last night in L.A., the statue of George Washington in Grand Park near the L.A. City Hall had already been vandalized repeatedly. Well, last night, rioters simply tore down the statue, a monument to the first president of our nation, ripped it down. I have not seen any mainstream media or pundit on the left say, that was a bad thing. Nope, they just keep their silence. So, yeah, this is a vital, vital election. Which brings me to what I was alluding to a moment ago. In 1964, Ronald Reagan made a speech. Some of his words still reflect today's events. So when we return after this break, the first voice you will hear is Ronald Reagan.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the Founding Fathers. Not too long ago, two friends of mine were talking to a Cuban refugee, a businessman who had escaped from Castro. And in the midst of his story, one of my friends turned to the other and said, "We don't know how lucky we are." And the Cuban stopped and said, "How lucky you are. I had some place to escape to." And in that sentence, he told us the entire story. If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth.
Those are the words of Ronald Reagan from 1964. The title, A Time for Choosing, also known as The Speech. Some believe it was given at the 1964 Republican National Convention in San Francisco, California, the nomination speech for candidate Senator Barry Goldwater. It was not. Reagan gave it in October 27. This was days before the November election. And that speech launched him into national prominence. But that speech from 1964 still has a lot to say about what's going on in our nation right now and how valuable and vital not only our country is, but this election coming up. As he said, we are the last refuge. And if this nation becomes socialist, Marxist, the man in the story that fled Cuba would not have had a place to go to, nor will millions around the world. What is the one country so many want to get into, legally or illegally? That would be this nation. How many of this nation choose to go live elsewhere? Minuscule. Let me give you some quick background reference that election in 64. Goldwater had as his VP William Edward Miller, an American politician, had been in the U.S. House of Representatives in New York. I was still in high school. And I was in Texas. And the candidate that Goldwater was facing was LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, a legend in Texas and in the nation. And in Texas, you just didn't speak against LBJ. Well, I did. I got up on my horse, basically, and said, I'm for Goldwater. And in fact, there was a picture in the high school annual that year. I'm holding a large poster of Goldwater, and a good friend of mine, she's holding a picture of LBJ. Now, we did not lose our friendship over our political differences, and I think that's something I'd like to see come back this time around, regardless of what your view is regarding Trump or Biden. Don't lose friendships over something like this, and family member relationships as well. You have a difference of opinion. Maybe sometimes you can discuss it with somebody, and some you just can't. There are some members of my family that I don't think I can have a discussion with because they will not listen to facts. They're not going to, and I just don't do it. I'm not going to lose and damage a family relationship over it. But too many other things in our lives to deal with. But it is critical that we understand the importance of what we're facing this election. And I mentioned the other day, the 2016 election against Hillary between Trump, that was many folks just against Hillary to be against her. And, of course, with Trump, the same, many against just to be against. And that was an important election because look how many Supreme Court nominees Trump has had that we would have had Hillary making the decision. But what we're doing now, this next step, with what we've seen in the streets, the riots, the left taking control of things and trying to basically overturn our country from inside. This is a vital election. In 64, Ronald Reagan made this statement.
You and I are told increasingly we have to choose between a left or right. Well, I'd like to suggest there is no such thing as a left or right. There's only an up or down. Man's old age dream, the ultimate in individual freedom consistent with law and order, or down to the ant heap of totalitarianism. And regardless of their sincerity, their humanitarian motives, those who would trade our freedom for security have embarked on this downward course.
You can read in that now what you see from the left. Oh, it's all about doing this, all about doing that, but at the same time, They're redirecting and misdirecting this country under the guise of humanitarian issues. Again, Reagan's statement again referenced liberals.
Another voice says the profit motive has become outmoded. It must be replaced by the incentives of the welfare state or our traditional system of individual freedom is incapable of solving the complex problems of the 20th century. Senator Fulbright has said at Stanford University that the Constitution is outmoded. He referred to the president as our moral teacher and our leader, and he says he is hobbled in his task by the restrictions of power imposed on him by this antiquated document. He must be freed so that he can do for us what he knows is best.
Does that sound familiar? Do you not hear that echoing today among the left? And when it comes to that Constitution's outdated, they didn't know anything when they did that back then. And I just told you what happened in L.A. They just ripped down the statue of George Washington in L.A. And I don't hear any liberals, any elected Democrats, Pelosi, Maxine Waters, others at that area in that area saying that was wrong. They are not condemning it. They will not condemn it. This clip of Reagan from 64 is circulating on the web quite a bit right now, and it's understandable why. Because it is so relevant in so many ways. That was a different time. And yet, some of the same things that were in play then are in play now and will be tomorrow.
As long as they had the power to tax, they could always take away from the people whatever they needed to bail them out of trouble. And that is the issue of this campaign that makes all the other problems I've discussed academic, unless we realize we're in a war that must be won.
And the war consists of additional taxation, more money, and having the public depend more and more upon the government. That's the whole idea about a guaranteed income. Guaranteed income means they're going to give you what they think they want to give you, and you might think, well, it's okay in the beginning, but gradually they begin to pare it back, and pretty soon you don't have it. As Margaret Thatcher, former British Prime Minister, said, socialism is great until you run out of the other people's money. Then you can't pay for it. The pressures at that time were not, of course, just from liberals in the left. And the liberals of that time, my God, they would look like conservatives surely now. But again, Reagan made this statement.
Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war, but there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement, and this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement, and it gives no choice between peace and war. Only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? Well, Nikita Khrushchev has told his people he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than dead. Or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet.
That was against Khrushchev and Russia during the Cold War. But the same values are at stake now for the left that would destroy what we have in this country. And Reagan knows the price of freedom.
Those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard round the world?
Good questions. And what would we have been if those events had happened? Appeasement, giving up, road to peace?
Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance.
Let those words ring in your ear. There is a point we will not yield. I'm going to post this link on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. I'll post the link so you can hear the entire speech, or at least a large segment of it. Listen and share it, please. It's vital. We'll take a break. When we come back, let's have some fun.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I got ketchup on my blue jeans that just burned my hand. Lord, it's hard to be a bachelor man. I got girls that can cook. I got girls that can clean. I got girls that can do anything in between. I gotta get ready, make everything right. Cause all my rowdy friends are coming over tonight.
This
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Yeah, that's Hank Williams Jr. And, of course, even if you weren't a big fan of Hank Williams Jr., you heard a version of that song. All my rowdy friends are coming over tonight because Monday Night Football used it to open the broadcast. At that time, all my rowdy friends are here on Monday night. Hank Williams Jr., Marty Stewart, and songwriter Dean Dillon are the newest inductees to the Country Music Hall of Fame. Let me give you some background on Stewart and Dean. Now, Marty Stewart is a five-time Grammy winner, had been a sideman playing in bands led by bluegrass legend Lester Flatt and Johnny Cash, and started his own career. He had six top 10 Billboard country songs here in the 90s, Hillbilly Rock, Little Things, Tempted. Stewart, once he heard about this nomination, he says, it's the ultimate honor in country music. Dean Dillon, known as a tunesmith behind a lot of George Strait's hits, The Chair, Oceanfront Property, Here for Good Time, also wrote the classic Tennessee Whiskey, covered by David Allan Coe and others, done a lot for Kenny Chesney. Dillon said, when he heard, I'm just speechless. And, of course, the biggest name, Hank Williams Jr. Now, Hank Williams Jr., known also as Bo Cephas, blend of Southern rock, blues, and country, son of country music singer Hank Williams. At age 14, he began to sing several songs associated with his father, and he slowly began to evolve his own country music. But that got interrupted in 1975. He fell off a side of a peak, Ajax Peak in Montana. Took a scar across his face, and that's why from then on he was wearing a beard to kind of cover the scar. But he began to find his own voice. Just listen to this.
Yeah, I'm in one of those hands.
The song, by the way, basically did follow a family tradition. His father, Hank Williams, had a bout with alcohol, possibly drugs, had some pain, and he was always medicating. He was scheduled to appear on the Grand Ole Opry in August 1952, but he missed the show, so he got fired. And 4 months later, he died in the back of his Cadillac on the way to a show in Ohio at 29 years of age. There's a song that Hank Williams Jr. does with Waylon Jennings called The Conversation. I'm talking about the death of his father and how the way he got treated by the Grand Ole Opry became one of the things that hurt him most at that time. As he says in one part of the song, most folks don't know they fired him from the Opry, and that caused his greatest pain. Hank Williams Jr. has certainly been known to party and have a wild time. But I'm glad to see the guy get the nod, which it had to be coming anyway, to be in the Country Music Hall of Fame. Got so many hits. There's no way he could have been kept out. He does admit figures of his influence when he was growing up and making his music, in addition to his father, Merle Haggard, Johnny Cash, Fats Domino, Earl Scruggs. He first sang his father's songs when he was 8 years old. But that family tradition, that song basically reflecting what he did. And yeah, there's some questions about a little drug usage, maybe a little bit too much alcohol, very much like his father. But you can't take away the talent. Another clip of that song I really like, Family Tradition.
I have loved some ladies, and I have loved Jim Beam.
nation. Don't ask me, Hank, why do you drink? Why do you roast?
Yeah, the questions are all there, just like they were asked of his dad at that time. Hank Williams Jr., along with Marty Stewart, songwriter Dean Dillon, the newest inductees in the Country Music Hall of Fame. I know some folks are out there thinking, I didn't know Larry Connors USA did this kind of stuff. Listen, Larry Connors USA does whatever I want to. See, that's why I'm here. I can do what I want. Unless Quentin gives me a wave, I'll say, no, you can't do that. Okay. Hey, as always, I appreciate you listening. Please spread the word. A lot of folks are learning about this program because of what you're doing to help promote it as well, and I thank you very much. All for the weekend. We'll be back Monday. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.